Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Alexander Benz.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
To the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 630, and it's one of the almost last Queer Casts with Amy Matheny, and last Queer Cast. And I have to say, there is nothing that tells me more that it's time for me to, you know, what do you call that? Hook up, take down my shingle, in that I forgot to press record, and the lovely and talented and fabulous Alexandra Billings, who's one of my oldest and dearest friends. And when I mean oldest, I just mean that I'm old and I've known you a really long time. You were a mere, you know, thought on the blip of the radar screen in pubescence. But I forgot to hear record. And guys, it was so fabulous. I'm sorry you missed it, because like I said her name and there was a clap of thunder because I'm recording at night here in Chicago and we're having these crazy June storms. And yeah. And we made an Endora joke, and we plugged Bewitch on logo. And all this happened, all this crap happened, and you all missed it all. But we experienced it, and it was really good for us. So welcome to show 630. I wrote that down on the back of my hand, so I know what year it is, date it is, and show it is. And my guest is Alexandra Billings for one of my last shows, and I'm thrilled to have you on. Hello, Alex. How are you?
That was literally the funniest. Freaking, because you were. I love that you said, "Hey, Alex, what was the most? What do you remember most about Lesbian by Gay Radio?" And I'm just talking and talking, and you all of a sudden go, "Oh, I forgot to hit record."
Oh, I like, forgot to hit record. And like, then I said, "Alex,"
but that was probably the best. It was, and that's what I was talking about. It was stuff like that would happen on the radio when we first met. That was just genius.
Yes. Yes. Well, and yes. And I said, thank God you're not somebody who's trying to like hawk, you know, their book or whatever,
right.
Who's going to be pissed at me. But we actually had really just started, but we're so good in the first few minutes, you know? It's like when you're a teenager having sex. We're so good in the first few minutes.
So good.
But anyhow, I'm so thrilled to have you on. And I was saying that even though you're one of my last people that I'm going to talk to here on the Windy City Queer Cast, you are one of the first people I ever started making radio with back on Lesbian Gay Radio in the late 90s. And I had met you prior to you coming on to the show very briefly at the dental office, which is where I met Mitchell. All things began with good teeth in all of our lives. And I remember meeting you, and my girlfriend tonight was actually like, how long have you known Alex? And I was like, you know what? I've known Alex almost as long as I've been in Chicago. So 20 years, because my first job was at the dental office where I met Mitchell. So I've known Mitchell the same amount of time. And I remember him telling me all about you, and you, Chris Ann was getting her teeth done, and you were coming in to wait on her. And I told my girlfriend, but this doesn't really mean anything to her because She's not exactly one of us. But I said, it was like a 1960s Turner Classic movie. Alex came in and she had a short, like, fur coat on. And it was the middle of winter. And she was ticked off. I could really tell she was ticked off. And I was, like, behind the little desk, like, blonde little Southern girl, probably in, like, a casual corner suit because I was really trying to be impressive as a receptionist at this dental office.
Aw, that's cute.
And you came and you sat down and you kind of grabbed a magazine and you kind of flipped through it and you had on this, like, short mink coat or short fur coat of some sort. And yeah. I remember meeting you and you kind of softened. I said something nice to you and all of a sudden you just kind of looked at me and you kind of were like, I don't know. You just, I don't know. I mean, we all have those moments. You weren't nasty. You just seemed like it was a tussle getting in the door. And
that was probably
and
true.
That's when I first met you. And then you came on the radio with me and because I was on with Honey West, and you came on once and that was when I really got to be across a microphone with you. And I was saying before I hit record, before you all got to join the conversation with us, I have hit record now. Then I was just saying, you know, do you have any memories from your time back in those early days of us doing radio together back on Les Baguet?
Well, I was saying that I loved doing the little spots, the little commercials for cars and other bars and, you know, like on Halsted Street. And I loved doing those because they were like little teeny little things that you had to do really quickly, mm-hmm. but they were just all information, but you had to make them sound sort of interesting, which I could never really do unless I just, you know, did it as Katharine Hepburn or something. But you always did it, like, you were always so eloquent, even when you were talking about, like, lube. Like,
yeah.
You were, it was like so, and I never knew how to do that, but I loved doing that.
Well, the difference with us doing Les Baguet Radio than what I've been doing since 2006 with the podcast that's really freeing about podcasting, besides the fact that you can say cuss words or say whatever the fuck you want to say, is that, you know, radio's in timed segments. So you really are like watching a stopwatch the whole time of like you have 30 seconds to say all of this copy that these people are paying you. This is the part they're paying you to do. So I definitely remember that. But you're mentioning lube. I, once again, you know, guys, I don't know if you can believe this, but I was very innocent and I really didn't walk into Les Baguet Radio some sort of lesbian or even LGBT activist. I really didn't know much of what was going on unless they were having a fabulous, like, costume party for an HIV AIDS benefit or, I mean, I don't know. I just wasn't really ingrained in the community. I hadn't been here very long. And I remember, I mean, my whole education, not only of the community in Chicago and what it meant to kind of be an advocate and an activist, came on the job. And I remember us interviewing two shows that Chuck, who was our fabulous straight producer, who was such a renegade, from Prague, who I loved. And Chuck loved putting really sexy, titillating stuff on the radio because we were on AM and the Greek guy with the goat, you know, the goat bell came on right after us. And and I remember that, you know, he would put on these shows. And I remember one time you and I, and you people called in, don't forget. And we had a show and the title, we had one show that the first hour was us with sex toys with a lesbian sexpert. And she had all these toys. And so we were trying to describe them and turn them on and explain them and touch them.
Wait, you remember? I remember she came in. Oh, God, I remember this so well, Amy. She came in. And she had all this accoutrement with her.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be a great show. And then I went, oh, wait a minute. It's radio.
That's right.
Nobody can see anything.
That's right. So we're like trying to describe it like some sort of Saturday Night Live sketch. Like, this feels like, and this kind of looks like, and it's the color of like Starburst strawberry gum, you know, where Starburst. We were like talking about them and trying to, that was when we discovered the polar bear. I'll never forget the polar bear. And we laughed about it and we talked about the polar bear for 3 weeks. And I think you took it home with you. And but then the second hour, as if that hour wasn't funny enough, the second hour was a book and it was called The Lesbian Guide to Anal Sex. I will never forget it in my life. this show, this 2 hours of my life. And I remember we were either had just done Xena, the first one, or maybe well, it would have been the first one, or we were rehearsing it or something. And you were in Xena Live. I was in Xena Live. Elizabeth Laidlaw was in Xena Live. And we were talking about, you were talking about anal sex. And I was just playing the straight man, as I did whenever I was on the radio with you. And I was just being rightfully shocked and naive and Southern and demure, as I am. And you were really like, extolling the virtues of anal sex, and all of a sudden the phone rang, and Mike, our sweet guy Mike on the board, said, "You've got a caller on line, you know, two." So we patched it in, and all I remember was the voice going, "Matheny, don't fight the feeling," and it was Elizabeth Laidlaw calling us about the Lesbian Guide to Anal Sex. So some of my fondest memories, like the corners of my mind. That's it. That's one of them. We had a lot of fun. We always have fun.
Yeah, that was really a great time. It really was. I you know, and I'll be honest, if that job would have lasted, I would still be doing it. Honestly. Yeah. I love doing radio. So yeah. I would still be doing it. I loved that gig. I thought it was just great.
It was really fun, and it was at the beginning of a revolution of, I mean, you people listening, and especially those of you who are younger listening. Remember, no cell phones, no World Wide Web, really. I mean, there was, but it wasn't something everybody had access to. I remember when people were the first night we had people streaming and listening to us in Germany and South Africa huddled around some sort of computer.
Right.
You know, we were the only daily LGBT radio show in the country. In the country. And how much has changed in...
oh my God! Yeah,
18, 17 years, and it's truly amazing. And
I never put any thought to that, but you're right, Amy. That actually, and you know, it says a lot about. It's very, very, very interesting what you just brought up, and I was just as ignorant as the next person about.
You were going to say as me, weren't you? You were going to say I was going to say,
no, I think it's true of all of us. I mean, absolutely, it's true of you. But it's true of, no, it's true of all of us that I don't think we knew what we had. I don't think we knew how important it was, you know, or the potential really of it. I remember Honey and I, when the gig ended, we were just shocked. We were like, I can't believe this is, why? It's so important, but I really had no idea about the reverberations. And looking back on it, it really was groundbreaking, this thing that we were doing. Yeah. And we really were, you know, ahead of the curve, weren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And it started happening really fast. You know, once people learned how to stream radio and LGBT people had access, you know, around the world, it really became fast because, you know, to me, that's how we create change. You know, one person who has a shared story talking to another person who has a shared story. And what has been important to me all these years, almost two decades, is to just give people a platform to tell their stories and ask them questions and pull it out of them and, shine a spotlight on them. And that is, I think people have created the change, you know, by their willingness to talk, by their willingness to tell their stories, by their willingness to be vulnerable or open and honest. And, you know, and yeah, you can always say like radio is about selling something. But we were selling a really great story. We always have been. And even here on the Queercast, you know, all the people who've come on, it's been an awesome, awesome journey. We're going to talk more about memories and thoughts and even some of our recent shows here on the Queercast. But today I really want to take advantage after we break for the news and what's going on in the theater scene to really take advantage of Alex being here on the show, not only to talk about the success that she's experiencing, but the real momentum that is impacting right now the trans community and how quickly and voracious and just like it's just spreading this consciousness of the trans community. And, you know, for us, we can all go, well, duh, we've been talking about it now almost 20 years. But But it's just interesting. It's interesting when Caitlyn Jenner hits the cover of Vanity Fair in the same year Laverne Cox hits the cover of Time magazine in the same year that Transparent is winning tons of awards for television and for storytelling. So we are thrilled to have Alexander Billings on the show with us. Let's break and do some news and theater, and we're going to get back to some good stuff.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. The American Medical Association has said there is no medically valid reason to exclude transgender individuals from the United States military. The new stand by the nation's largest doctor group comes amid changing policy by U.S. military branches toward transgender individuals and growing public support for allowing them to serve openly.
The New York City Landmarks Preservation Commission voted unanimously to formally consider Stonewall Inn for landmark designation. Located at 5153 Christopher Street in Greenwich Village, Stonewall has been considered the birthplace of the modern LGBT rights movement.
The Air Force will make it more difficult to discharge transgender troops. Troops diagnosed with gender dysphoria or who identify as transgender are generally discharged from serving based on medical grounds. The new Air Force policy requires those decisions to be reviewed by high-level officials at Air Force headquarters instead of doctors and unit commanders.
Guam's chief federal judge has struck down the local law that restricts marriage to opposite-sex couples. The chief judge said that the laws denying marriage rights to same-sex couples were unconstitutional, citing a previous decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which has jurisdiction over Guam.
Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts went to the wedding in Chicago for his lesbian sister, Laura. Laura married Brooke Skinner, a brand strategist for Twitter. Laura is the leader of LPAC, a lesbian-backed political action committee. Pete, a Republican, has said he loves his sister but opposes same-sex marriage.
Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani has revealed he wouldn't win the Republican Party nomination for president because of his stance on social issues. Giuliani said he's not running because I believe I can't get nominated because of my views on gay marriage. I'm in favor of gay rights. I'm in favor of gay marriage. I see it as an issue of equality. I'm pro-choice. I'm anti-abortion personally, but I'm pro-choice. I'm pro-immigrant, and I haven't backed down from it.
Drag queens descended onto Facebook's headquarters to protest the social network's real names policy. Facebook requires members use authentic names on their profiles. If a profile is flagged for having a fake name, that person has to provide Facebook with proof that it is a legitimate name or the person's account will be deactivated.
In Tennessee, a Chattanooga television station won't run an advertisement in support of same-sex marriage. WRCB-TV deemed the ad too controversial. Other television stations in Chattanooga, Nashville, and Memphis are running it. Tennessee is one of four states whose ban on same-sex marriage is currently before the U.S. Supreme Court.
In Colorado, a high school valedictorian received a standing ovation when she came out as lesbian during her graduation speech in the mountain town of Carbondale. During her weekend speech in Carbondale, Roaring Fork High School graduate Emily Brule used signs as props and got the standing ovation as soon as she revealed the word gay. Principal Drew Adams, who had read the speech in advance, called Brule's speech courageous.
Two students at a Texas middle school were sent home and several others were told to cover up their gay okay message they wore on their T-shirts because school officials said their message was a distraction. The shirts were worn as silent support for Fauban Middle School 7th grader who recently came out as gay and as a result was bullied by other schoolmates. Administrators said any disruptive or distractive mode of clothing or appearance that adversely impacts the educational process is not permitted.
After 15 years of living technically as father and son, a same-sex Pennsylvania couple were finally able to marry. Norman MacArthur and Bill Novak, both in their 70s, said, "I do," in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. The two have been together since their 20s and registered as a domestic partnership in New York in 1994. When they moved to Pennsylvania, the only way they could have formal legal relationship with all the rights that it entailed was if one of them legally adopted the other.
GLAAD will highlight the stories of LGBT Southerners during its Southern Stories Summer Tour, June 12th through 19th, kicking off in Nashville at the first ever Concert for Love and Acceptance. GLAAD will travel to 9 additional cities across 6 states to spotlight stories from the LGBT community that are accelerating acceptance.
Adidas is celebrating Pride Month by updating its signature sneakers with rainbow paint splatters. The Pride Pack includes the company's flagship shoes, the Stan Smith, which first hit stores in 1965, the same year gays and lesbians held the first organized demonstration for LGBT rights outside Philadelphia's Independence Hall.
Sabra Hummus has included a real-life gay couple in its latest advertising campaign. In the past, companies like Target, Tiffany's, Wells Fargo, and Hallmark have all featured ads with same-sex couples.
In world news, at least five policemen were injured in scuffles during a gay pride march in Ukraine's capital of Kiev. Unidentified people reportedly attacked the rally with smoke bombs and stones, with several people being arrested. Ahead of the LGBT march, a number of Ukrainian politicians had pledged to disrupt the event. Kiev Mayor Vitali Klitschko had called on the organizers of the Equality March to cancel the event to avoid confrontation in the city.
In Canada, New Democratic Party MPP Sherry DeNovo's landmark legislation, the Affirming Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Act, will ban doctors from billing Ontario health insurance for counseling LGBT patients to change sexual orientation or gender identity.
A transgender woman who was a prominent activist in El Salvador was killed May 31st. Francela Mendez Rodriguez was murdered by a group of unknown assailants while visiting the home of a friend, Consuela Flores Martinez, who was also killed. Mendez Rodriguez, 29, had been a board member of the Colectivo Alejandría, a Salvadoran trans advocacy group, since it was founded in 2010.
A same-sex couple from Costa Rica was granted a common-law marriage, making them the first legally recognized gay couple in Central America. A judge granted Gerald Castro and Christian Zamora a common-law marriage based on an amendment to the Youth Code in 2013 of July, which dictates that mandated common-law marriages should exist regardless of gender and without discrimination against their human dignity. The marriage provides the same benefits of a traditional marriage, however, required the approval of a judge after the couple has been together for at least 3 years.
In entertainment news, the latest RuPaul's Drag Race winner has been crowned. Violet Shotsky was crowned the winner of Season 7, besting Pearl and Ginger Minj.
Project Runway alum Christian Siriano will create a limited edition for Lane Bryant's next designer collaboration set to hit stores in spring of 2016. The brand's been making a shift toward higher fashion, and Siriano previously lent his designs to brands like Payless and Puma.
Jennifer Kent, who directed the creepy 2014 film The Babadook, will helm the lesbian film Alice and Frida Forever. Alexis Coe's book tells the story of a budding romantic relationship between two young girls in 1892 Memphis, Tennessee, that incited a sensational murder and shocked the nation. The Babadook won the Australian Academy Award for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay.
According to the files the FBI released, the late Whitney Houston was the victim of an extortion plot that threatened to reveal secrets about the late singer. The secrets, which are detailed in the new book, Whitney and Bobby Christina, The Deadly Price of Fame, alleged Houston was having a lesbian affair with her friend and assistant, Robin Crawford. Houston denied the relationship.
Madame Tussauds, San Francisco, will debut a wax figure of Laverne Cox, star of Orange is the New Black and transgender rights activist during Pride Weekend. It is the first ever transgender figure in the museum's history.
Jim Bailey, the performer who did spot-on recreations of such iconic female entertainers as Judy Garland, Barbara Streisand, and Peggy Lee, has died at the age of 77. Bailey died of cardiac arrest from pneumonia complications in California. He was a regular in Vegas for years, did a Streisand tribute at halftime of the 1978 Super Bowl, and put out three albums.
Brittany Griner filed for an annulment with Glory Johnson Griner a day after Johnson Griner announced she's pregnant and a month after the two WNBA players married. Griner, the Phoenix Mercury star, married Johnson Griner on May 9th, 3 weeks after they were arrested on domestic violence charges for a fight at their home in suburban Phoenix.
And Janet Jackson will put out her first original album in 7 years before the end of 2015. It will be her 11th career record. The first single is slated to drop in just a few weeks.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Katie Lang. You're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of June 15th, 2015, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Lifeline Theater concludes its 32nd season of Big Stories Up Close with Soon I Will Be Invincible, a world premiere musical based on the 2007 superhero novel by Austin Grossman. Playing now through July 19th, more at lifelinetheater.com. Don't miss the exciting musical premiere, Soon I Will Be Invincible.
Experience the Pulitzer Prize-winning play Doubt, a riveting story of suspicion, ambiguity, and religion staged by Writers Theatre in the Glencoe Union Church. Explosive and riveting, says the Sun-Times, and the Tribune says Karen Janis Wodich gives one of the best performances of the year. For tickets, visit writerstheatre.org. Don't miss Doubt at Writers Theatre, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or Metra.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
I sipped the finest brandy, smelled the sweetest perfume. But they wouldn't do. I chose the Autobahn in a coupe de ville. Climbed Kilimanjaro, and it was just a hill. Now it's gonna take more.
So Alexander Billings is on the show with me today, one of the last Queercasts. I'm thrilled to have her on. Not only has she been an activist in the community of HIV and AIDS, but also an enormous activist and voice in the trans community. And we've been following her success, as she told us a little over a year and a half or more ago, that she had booked this new show called Transparent that was going to be with Amazon. Then the show hit, and who knew it was going to be such just such a bright, shining star on the television landscape. And Alex, how has the experience been for you now after a season has come out and an award season's come out and the Golden Globes? And I mean, my mother spoiled it because we were watching on delay here in the house. And my mother called and she's like, "Your daddy and I just can't believe it. We just saw Alexandra on TV. Aren't you so excited?" I was like, "Mother,
that's hilarious.
Mother, we haven't even gotten there yet." She goes, "Oh, hang up and call me back. We're just crying here." And then she hung on the phone.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah, but just tell me your thoughts on this past 9 months.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things going through me. I think the first and foremost is that this really shouldn't be happening to me at this, you know, stage in my life. I'm not. And I guess what I mean by that is, you know, I'm not 23 years old. I'm not, you know, I'm a middle-aged person, and I'm going through all of this really large-scaled stuff that's happening. That really, I had no interest in being involved in. It's never been part of my artistic life to have an enormous amount of fame. That was never a goal of mine. It was never a dream of mine. So it was very shocking, not that I have an enormous amount of fame, but that the show does.
Yep.
And
but you this, do. You do. And I
well,
think
I,
what...
I've never
I
been
think
in the middle of anything quite so monumental. And
yep.
So it's a little disturbing, and it's very exciting. It's kind of like, for me, it's kind of like being on a roller coaster, except the roller coaster at the end has a really big hill, and you can't see the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a roller coaster that you look at and go, oh, that's where the roller coaster goes. I literally have no idea where this thing is going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of endless right now. So it's all of the things. It's exciting and thrilling and terrifying and very bizarre.
Well, I know for many of us in Chicago, and definitely your friends, and you know, and friends of mine who have come to know you over the years, and my family even, as I say, my mom and dad called me with your Golden Globe win, that, you know, I think that it's interesting that you didn't want or see fame in your life. And I think many, many people who met you and experienced you and just knew what you were about, I mean, hoped that for you and saw that for you because, I don't know, you just seemed like you were going to be one of those voices. You were going to be one of those people. And I'm watching because I just saw that you just gave a commencement speech, and you've been at the forefront of a lot of the conversations around Transparent, which has been great, that Jeffrey Tambor and Jill Soloway have often referred to you or other trans actors on the show to give voice, you know, to some of the questions that the media might ask. And just, you know, how you are the right person. And I think it's right that it's happening at this time in your life. And that kind of takes me to the fact that I think it's kind of right, too, that it's happening in Caitlyn Jenner's this moment in her life. There is more gravitas to it. There is more weight to it. There is more a life and a journey and a perspective to it that makes it very still and very focused and impossible not to see. Let me just say that. I think for a younger person hitting fame around this issue in their 20s, I'm not saying it's not as important. It's a different conversation, but I think there is a potency to this happening and to the character of Maura on the show that she is at what stage in her life she is in. But that's just my opinion. Those are my two cents, but I got three more shows, so I'm going to give them. So Transparent has, you know, we feel like we're waiting for the next season. What can you tell us? When will the next season happen, or have you started filming it, or that's this binge watching thing. Now you binge it and then you got to wait.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's right. That's how people, or the, this generation anyway, watches television. There's no waiting for next week to find out what happened. They sort of do everything all in one or two sittings. We start filming in a couple of weeks, actually, and season two should be out, I don't know what, like September, I assume, October, somewhere around there.
And they've just released, I just heard you now, for the Prime members who watch Transparent on Amazon, there is a commentary version, and I think you just put in, you know, amazon.com/transparent/commentary. I think that's the right address. I'm sure if you just Google Amazon commentary.
Wow, that's amazing.
Transparent. But yeah, but then you can hear cast members, and I don't know if you were involved, but and Jill and Jeffrey all talk as the episodes run, which it's kind of cool that it's DVD features without the DVD.
Well, I don't say anything.
Okay.
I'm not on the commentary. No, I believe it's Jeffrey and Judith, and probably, and I'm guessing now, but I would assume it's Amy and Jay and Gabby. I would assume that. And Jill.
Wow. So the whole fam is there.
Yeah, it's basically the family. Yeah.
Has there been a moment that was the most surprising and the most shocking to you? I mean, was the Golden Globes the moment that you went, oh, wow, this is happening? Or was there a moment? It might have been something much smaller, but I'm just wondering.
I don't know if that was the moment that I realized it was actually happening. I think the moment that I realized it was happening was probably 4 or 5 months ago. I was in a coffee shop, and there was this little girl and her mother at a table, and I was standing. It was not a coffee shop. It was Starbucks. I call everything a coffee shop. Everything's right. A coffee. Everything's 1950s coffee shop. So
like I said, there, you were like a Turner Classic movie walking into the Starbucks. There you go.
You know, they put your name on the cup and they call your name and stuff. And so I just put in my order for whatever it is I was ordering. And this little girl who probably was, I don't know, 7 or 8. I'm not very good at children's ages, but she was a tiny person. And she kept looking at me and staring at me. Mm-hmm. And I can feel that I'm highly sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. And so I turned and I looked, and kids sometimes do that, but this was very unique. And I looked at her and she smiled really big. And her mother said, "Are you on Transparent?" to me. And I said, "Yes, I am." And her mother said, "My daughter loves you and wants to know if you will talk to her, not get an autograph or a picture, but talk to her." And I said, "Sure, of course." And she got out of her chair. She took me by the hand and led me to the corner of the restaurant. And we stood by this giant pane of glass looking out. And it was about midday, so that there was this beam of sun sort of coming in on both of us. And so we were standing there bathed in light. And she said, "I love you on the show. I love what you say." And she said a couple of other things. And then she said, "My name is Chloe." And I said, "Well, it's very nice to meet you, Chloe." And she said, "That was the name I picked. I used to be David, and now I'm Chloe."
Hmm.
And then she led me back to the table, and she sat back down, and her mother turned to me, and over her head, so Chloe wouldn't hear, she said, "You were the one that opened the door." So that's when I knew that we were doing, that was the moment that I knew. We were doing something that was much bigger than anything written on paper, than anything we could discuss or talk about or debate or write about or receive or give away or look at or study.
Mm-hmm.
This thing we're doing, and I realize it's just a TV show, I really do realize that, but I know for myself that television and movies and art, paintings and music and all of that changed me when I was little. It saved me. It saved my life many, many times over. It was a respite for me. So that's when I knew we're really involved. We're not solely responsible, but we're involved in a real cracking, if you, of something that is quite profound, because it's heard by 8-year-old people. So that's really when I knew.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because this past week, my girlfriend has a daughter, and they got out of school, and when they get out of school, they get to go get ice cream at Fannie Mae's, and they go to the beach. And the three girls are in the back seat of the car, and they're talking, and one of the girls says something about Caitlyn Jenner. Now, these are young girls, and her friend that said it is the kid you just would not think. Even, I mean, she is so innocent. She's the oldest of three sisters. And so usually the oldest, when you're the oldest, you're not as worldly, right? When you have big brothers and big sisters, sometimes you grow up fast. But she said something about, like, well, Caitlyn Jenner. And my partner said, well, how do you know about, well, first the other two little girls was like, well, who's she? You know, I didn't know who she was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my partner said something like, well, how do you know who Caitlyn Jenner is? And she goes, oh, well, I saw her all over the magazines at the Jewel. And, right. And, and so then they all have their little phones, and these are, you know, 9, 10-year-olds, and they're, you know, looking at pictures. And my partner's daughter said, I think she's really pretty, you know? And they're having a conversation. And so, you know, then it's, you know, my partner is then trying to have the conversation on the way to the beach. The other two moms have other kids in their cars. So she's like, wait till I have to tell all the moms that we talked about Caitlyn Jenner on the way to the, you know, to the beach. But, you know, how extraordinary when she called me and told me about this, I was like, how extraordinary. And, you know, and so my partner was able to say, well, don't you think that's really, really brave? And, you know, what do you think? And to hear these little girls like put it together and think, well, wow, that must be really hard to not feel like, you know, you're in the right body or, and these are, you know, kids in Chicago, yes, but they're Catholic school kids, you know, they're young and they've not seen the show, your show, or they'd not seen the magazine either, except for the one who had seen it at the Jewel on the checkout line. You know?
Right. Yeah.
But I thought, wow, that is changing the fabric of society right there. You know, just changing the fabric of society. What did you think of Caitlyn Jenner's coming out? I mean, did you watch the Diane Sawyer interview? Have you seen the Vanity Fair spread or read the article? And what impact do you think this is having on the trans community? From your perspective,
well, I think,
obviously, you're one
The impact is felt far beyond the trans community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what Caitlyn represents is many different aspects of what transitioning means, feels like, and looks like. And I think one of the most profound things we can say about her, however you feel about her, is that she brought, for the first time in the history of our movement, she brought the one thing we've been missing, which is familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning everyone now, because when she was an Olympian, she was the poster child for masculinity. I mean,
that's right.
You know, you couldn't go anywhere, even if you're of a different generation, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing, you know, the Jenner image somewhere. And so everyone now, most everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, but most everyone globally now can say they know someone or know of someone who's transgender. That's brand new.
Yep.
I felt
like when that moment happened, it was a little like the Rock Hudson, Magic Johnson moment for AIDS.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's I think you're absolutely right, Amy. And it brought, I mean, that brought, Rock Hudson brought AIDS into our living rooms in a way that, and you know, it's interesting that it happened at a time when the people who grew up with him in the 1950s, who were of that ilk, you know, the man goes out and makes the living and the wife stays home and there's no bumps in the road, that he brought that specific plague into everyone's homes was remarkable. And I think you're exactly right. Caitlyn has done the same thing, except this time what we're talking about is release and freedom.
Yeah.
Breath and ease and, you know, now we're all having to have conversations about, okay, what do you really want to do? Who do you really want to be?
Mm-hmm.
What's the truth of you? Those are the conversations we're forced to have. And listen, not everybody's happy about having that.
No, and I am curious. I mean, obviously, one of the big conversations, negative conversations, that this is a publicity stunt, which I think is just the craziest conversation one could ever have.
Well, that's laughable. That's not even worth talking about. That's ridiculous.
And, you know, and then the crazy person who said that the IOC should strip Jenner of her medals, or, you know, of the Bruce Jenner medals or whatever for the decathlon. And, you know, it's just, that's just crazy to me. But I saw something, today or tonight, actually, where GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, has put out this little video of talking to very young children who are probably around the same age as Chloe, who you met in that coffee shop, I would say these are 6, 7, maybe 8, that would be old, year old children, who they show an image of the famous Fists in the Air, Bruce Jenner 1976 photograph, and say, tell me what you see in this picture. Who is this person? And they say, you know, he's strong and he's a runner and he looks confident. And, you know, they say these things. And then they hold up a picture of Caitlin from Vanity Fair. I think it was, maybe it wasn't even Vanity Fair, but it's the red dress picture that we've seen in the car with the sunglasses. And, they say, okay, now tell us about this image and this woman that you see in this picture. And the kids say, oh, you know, she's so pretty, or she looks so confident, or she looks so strong, and she looks, you know, they have these wonderful words that they say. And then the commentator says, you know, what if I told you this is the same person? And you see their faces try to make that connection.
Ah, that's really interesting.
And then they say to the kids, now let's tell you what some people are saying about Caitlin, you know, since she's become a woman. And they show tweets of people saying, good for you, and be free, and you're gorgeous, and all these things. And the kids are reading those. And then they say, now let us read you some of the comments from people who are not saying such nice things. And they aren't the horrible, you know, they're not the lowest of the low, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They're appropriate for kids. But just something like, you know, this is freakish, or, you know, this is wrong, or something about disturbed, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And you watch, that's the one shot that they have all the kids lined up on a bench or a couch, and you can, they're just hearing the tweets, and you can watch their faces, and it doesn't compute. Like, they can't fathom somebody saying those kind of mean things, you know? And then one of the kids says, maybe, they said, why do you think somebody would say something like that? And all of them talk about, in some way, shape, or form, people's fear of change. And one kid says, I mean, it's like a six-year-old kid says, well, maybe they recognize what a big change she's gone through, and they've never gone through that big of a change. And they can't imagine what that change is like, and so it scares them. From the mouth of babes, you know?
Well, you know, like, listen, this whole generation, Amy, is they're growing up at a time where they have literally the universe at their fingertips. I mean, in their own home, they have these space machines, you know, where they can look up and receive any information from all over the world. Right. And at that age, they're used to doing that. So their brain, of just electronically, is just used to working in a very, very different way than our brain.
Yes.
You know, we're used to writing letters and putting stamps on envelopes and dialing a phone and, you know, getting into the door of your house before the phone stops ringing. You know, our childhood.
Encyclopedias.
Yeah, oh, God, encyclopedia globes.
I had my children's encyclopedia that were rainbow colored on the shelf. I mean, you know, that's where I would go and look up stuff.
But so we had, you know, they're from a whole, their brain works in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
So their ability to analyze, critically analyze, is much quicker. It happens on a dime. They don't need a whole lot of liminal space, what I call liminal, the space in between. They don't need a whole lot of time to sort of rev up. They can just go. They're used to it.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It's fine. I get it. The people that are angry, this is a terrible thing to say, but the people that are angry, not confused, but angry, are just statistically people who are 45 years old or older. Mm-hmm. They're older people. They're people that still watch news on television. These kids don't watch CNN. I teach these 20-somethings. I've taught them for years. They don't watch CNN. They have no idea what CNN is, nor do they care.
Mm.
Not Fox News, not MSNBC. Nobody watches them except people our age and older.
Mm-hmm.
They get their news from the things in their hands. So when you put, this is fascinating that you're talking about this, Amy, and the way that you're speaking about it, it's really smart, because this younger generation, the children that are 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, this is not a commodity to them. This is a normalcy.
Yes.
My students not only know I'm transgender, they celebrate the fact that I'm transgender. And I mean, they tell their friends that are, you know, basketball players and mathematicians and physicists, you know, people who are all over the campus. And they celebrate my transgenderism. It's not a thing. It's a non-thing. And I'm not saying it's not a big deal to them. It is not a deal. It's not a deal. It's not even on the table.
But it is a big deal nationally. It's obviously a big deal globally. This is not a mainstream conversation we've had as a society. And everything we're talking about tonight, you know, from, yes, we start talking about trans issues on a daily gay radio show, and somebody can pick that up on the airwaves because it was just AM radio in the city of Chicago, right? And then you have, you know, other access with the internet and things like that, trans characters in the wings more, perhaps. I mean, you obviously struggled with that the past two decades of being an actress in LA and, you know, being the first trans actor to be play trans on a primetime television show with Grey's and you know, and some of the other places that you were pioneering, you and other artists. And then we move into this whole transparent landscape with you know, a really well written show that's very well, you know, every aspect of it artistically is at the top of its game, and it's about this issue, or it reflects a story, relatable story, but surrounding a central character that's trans. And then we have a decorated, one of the highest decorated, most well-known American Olympians transitions on a wide, worldwide stage.
Yeah.
It's profound. You know, there's I am a huge proponent of ABC Family, and I know ABC has always been very good to you and in your career. And ABC Family has just launched this new docuseries, which feels very much like what used to be the early days of MTV doing The Real World before it all went crazy in reality television, but when it was really like a docuseries. And this new show that Ryan Seacrest is doing called Becoming Us, that is,
oh yeah, I heard about that,
which is a teenage boy and in Chicago and or Chicago area, and his dad transitioning, you know, male to female, and he becomes friends. The teenager becomes friends with this girl whose father is also transitioning. And, you know, I'm so interested to watch this series play out. And then I guess we're going to get to see Caitlin's series, too. And I think that's going to be really interesting in tone, how she and the producers around this show choose to, control that, because they will have control over that. They will have editorial control over the tone of that show. Because you know that. I mean, you know that an editor or the director and the editor are going to be essential into how that story gets told.
That's right.
For her and for the trans community. So I don't know. Have you heard any rumblings about that? Or
you mean about Caitlin's show?
Yeah,
or
who might be working on it? Or do you have high hopes?
I have no information. The only thing I know is that it's happening. That's
yes.
All I know. I have any kind of no.
Well, I just know that, you know, your crew and cast and team and writers and everyone there in the Transparent family, you know, they've been voracious and exhaustive in their efforts to get it right, you know? And I guess I just have the same hope for this show, you know? Because
well, look,
think
I mean,
we'll be watching. Is that too much to ask?
No, of course not. I'm with you. I'm, you know, immersing myself in the big pot of hope. I'm just trying to, I'm really nervous about both of those projects that you mentioned. I don't know how much in control you can be in to have a reality TV show. I mean, what is reality TV nowadays?
That's
anyway?
Right.
But, you know, hopefully they'll have enough control artistically to be sensitive to our community. You know, the thing about it is, Amy, and this is probably a whole other conversation, but the thing about it is that when anyone begins any kind of transition from single to married or from adolescent to adult or whatever transition you're making, it usually comes with blocks of time. You know, you meet someone, you date someone, you romance someone, you have sex with someone, then you marry that someone, and that, you know, but there are things in between that are mm-hmm. going on while the transition is taking place. When we transition our community, it happens on a dime. It goes very quickly for mm. us mm. because we see the freedom and we burst open. We burst onto the scene. Mm. There's still time in between, but it's much shorter this time. And so because that's true, we tend to act out and we don't always use our critical thinking. Mm-hmm. We just tend to do stuff, really, mm-hmm. you know, like any 13-year-old person would do. Mm-hmm. We're very young when this transition happens. Mm-hmm. So my fear is that the things that these two shows might be capturing are moments in these people's lives where everyone is getting used to the Tesseract. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone is still trying to figure out, wait a minute, weren't you just mm-hmm. over here, and now you're way over here, and what does that mean for me? Mm-hmm. That we're not getting the big picture, mm-hmm. you know? And so, again, I just hope with all my heart that everyone involved in these shows mm-hmm. is not concerned for monetary gain, but they are mindful for the spiritual and profound journey that we all have to make when we move from one place to the next.
Well, and you know, and it's interesting because even on the show Transparent, you know, what we're basically watching is a neurotic amount of family members trying to deal with somebody's transition who actually is the most confident and calm and assured
right,
character
yeah.
and least neurotic character on the show. Right.
No.
And so what they've done is very smart on Transparent is that they've made, you know, Jeffrey Tambor's character of Maura, like the most relatable, like you kind of want to kill these kids or you're so uncomfortable watching them, you know, flail and flounder and struggle and refract off what they think is this thing that has changed, you know? And I don't know where this show's going to go in the next season, but the thing from my perspective, just what I see is that, you know, their Mappa now, as they call her, is
yeah.
really the fixed point. Like she has not really changed, you know, and in some ways. And what they're all doing is they're all the ones being forced to change because of wherever they are in their life or what it means to them or how whatever standard or expectation or role in which they have cast their mother, father. So it's interesting because I think that's the same thing we're going to see with Caitlyn Jenner. It's like people's how uncomfortable people are with what they know, what they expect, what they have defined as who Bruce Jenner was and what that means for them. You know, what does that mean if I believed something or knew something or thought I knew something that wasn't what I thought it was? And
well, and remember,
settling to folks.
Reality, any kind of reality, any kind of reality TV show is watched because we are fascinated in America, probably more places than America, but certainly in America most of all, with everybody's sex life.
Right.
We're dying to to know what everybody else, who everybody else is fucking that we can't. Right. I mean, the only reason Kim Kardashian is famous is because she's had sex with someone famous. That's the only thing she's famous for.
Right.
She's not a singer. She's not an actress. She's not a writer. She's not her gifts, and she certainly has gifts, but they lie in a very particular area, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, she knows that about herself.
Yeah.
So Caitlyn's show, and because it's a reality show, Seacrest's show are being watched for the same reason. Let's not fool ourselves.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that we're going into some kind of, you know, magnificent spiritual awakening just because
people are going to be curious. People are going to be curious,
absolutely.
And that's why they're going to watch. But
that's right.
I don't know that that's a bad reason to watch. I'm really curious as
to I didn't say it's good or bad. There's no judgment. Want us to be really clear as to, first of all, why these shows exist, and second of all, exactly what it is we're watching. Because the reason we got bored with Paris Hilton, and let's be really honest, is because she got old. We were far less interested in who she was having sex with when she started to get a little older than 20.
Mm-hmm.
We just weren't interested anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons nobody cares who she is anymore. Nobody cares. And it's why all of those, you know, now they have this reality, I don't even know what it's called, but it's some reality TV show where everyone's naked, literally naked.
Hmm.
Naked and on an island. It's like Survivor, except it's naked Survivor. And they blur out all the little naughty bits, but everyone's naked. I mean, it's if that's not, if that's not a mirror for, you know, the average American lying on their couch eating Doritos. I'd love a bag of Doritos right now.
Regular or Cool Ranch, or what are you thinking?
No, nacho cheese. What's wrong with you, Cool
I'm
Ranch?
I'm asking, you know, they're the zesties. I don't know.
I'm getting Doritos right now.
I am hopeful that ABC Family is actually where they still do, you know, they can still have it be soapy, some of their shows. They also, it's just a different, they know who their audience is, and I'm really hopeful for this show. You know, Caitlin's, we will see. Do you think there's dissent within the trans community? I mean, it's just so easy to, it's like people lumping together the gay community or the lesbian community. And I remember early on, you know, and coming out in the 90s, and I didn't identify with the lesbian community that I saw or that I heard people putting a box around. Or, I mean, is the trans community just so happy that people are acknowledging them and seeing positive images and being able to self-actualize that they're not dissecting it all yet? Or do you think that there's people?
Well, you know, that's hard to say. I mean, I'm certainly not, you know, I don't really know. I'm not the voice of, you know.
No, but you definitely are working with a lot of trans artists and trans storytellers.
I am.
I'm curious about.
But the transgender people that I'm working with and the gender queer people I'm working with are all artists.
Right.
You know, our community is much broader and,
yes.
and you know, the net that it throws.
Yes.
The net is, you know, large and wide.
I guess that's what I'm saying, that it's a little reductive to say that, like, the conversation about the trans community right now impacts all trans people. Well, yes, it does. And the trans community is vast, you know?
Yeah. And listen, I mean, Caitlyn came out. I mean, and her struggle has been a lifetime. But Caitlyn came out, she has more than enough money to get more than enough surgical procedures. You could choke a horse on the amount of surgical procedures she has. It's like combining Joan Rivers and Christian Chenoweth. I mean, my God. So and that's a lot of plastic.
That's a lot.
She's had a landing in her own trans experience that is very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't know anybody, and I've been around my community now for 30 years.
Right.
I don't know anybody that's had this kind of experience.
Right.
So Caitlyn's experience is very individual. It's very specific. Most of us don't have near the amount of money to get to pass, as we call it. So we spend our lives having to overcompensate, attempts to compensate for, assimilate, try and disappear. You know, Janet Mock, I love this girl. Janet Mock tells a beautiful story about her own. You talk about self-aware. Here's arguably one of the most gorgeous creatures on the planet. I mean, this woman is just knocked down, drag out, just beautiful, this girl. And she knows it and talks about it, her beauty. And she has even said, my beauty has gotten me through most things in my life, which is why I never told anybody I was trans, ever.
Interesting.
Because when you look like that, you don't dare. When you look like, and I'm not talking about my own looks or comparing them in any way, shape, or form, but when you look like me, and I mean me personally, Alex, I told everyone I was trans because I assumed everyone knew. I just assumed everyone knew the way I looked, the way I sound, the way I walk, the way I act. But if I looked like Janet, I can't fault her. I don't know that I would have said anything either. So when we look at the transgender experience, we have to look at all kinds of different experiences, from housewives to physicists to entertainers. So,
And all the different aspects of the trans community are not all, post-op trans community people or... male to female and female to male, also very divergent, different conversations there too. So it's very complex, and we are just starting to scratch the surface, but definitely this has been the year. I mean, this has been a big year, the past 2 years, this year and last year, huge years for the trans community.
And I just
appreciate you always being, folks, if you don't follow Alex on Facebook or Twitter, I don't know if you can, she even has space anymore on Facebook for you to join her, but I think you're pretty visible to most people, aren't you? Follow Alex's career and watch Transparent but I just appreciate you being this constant voice for the trans community and just such a smart advocate and ally and smart member of the LGBT community and funny and being my friend. And it's a 2-decade friendship, and I'm so grateful for you, and thank you for just being a part of my, not only my work life, but my personal life and my spiritual life and so many aspects of this path that I've walked with you, my friend.
I love you, Amy Matheny, and I'm eternally grateful for your kindness and your friendship throughout my entire life. Always have been, really.
Well, we will have the Supreme Court hearing announcement hopefully sometime here in the next couple of shows, because as I've said, I am kind of taking this full circle. I remember my early days with Lesbi Gay Radio. We were... The Hawaii and gay marriage was at the forefront of some of our earliest conversations those first couple of years. And it felt to me that this was the right time to pass the baton and let others start continuing this conversation. And I am hopeful that we will have a decision here very, very soon. I feel like it's days away and imminent. So happy Pride to you. I hear that you're going to be in the Pride Parade out there in Hollywood, Hollyweird.
We are going to be in the Hollyweird Pride Parade. And not only am I going to be on the transparent float, but so is my wife, Chris Ann.
Aww, I love
it. I know.
That's amazing.
I know. How exciting is that? I'm going to be handing out transparent t-shirts up and down the parade route. Oh. That's hilarious.
I want you to send me one, because I'm not going to be in Hollyweird, and I want a transparent t-shirt.
All right. I'll totally send you one.
I mean, Jeff Bezos should send me one. Is that how you pronounce his name? I've talked about it a lot, so he should. The president of Amazon. What's his name? Jeff Bezos?
Yeah, that's good for you. Nice work.
Is it good? Okay, good. yeah, maybe he should send me a t-shirt.
All right, I'll tell him to.
And you just have an amazing, amazing Pride. You and Chris have fun. Thank you so much for being on the Queercast with me here in one of my final shows.
Thanks for asking me, honey. And I am sad to see you go, but thrilled for this brand new portal that you are moving through in your life. It's glorious.
You said portal, and it made me feel a little funny. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
baby. Don't fight the feeling, Matheny. In my upcoming show, you're going to hear from many of your other favorite Queercast friends and family. Deb Pierce, our Canadian lesbian from Toronto, and Mitchell Fain will be on upcoming show, and Kelly Simpkins, and Ms. Cleo. So there, you know, the whole cast of characters have come out. The whole Queercast family has come out here for these last shows, and I'm appreciative of that. And I hope you all have a wonderful week. I hope you enjoyed Midsummer Fest. And so now we are heading straight into Pride Fest this week. And then before you know it, the Gay Pride Parade. So lots of things to be proud about, lots of things to champion for our community. And I love all of you for being with me and all of us and together throughout it all. So see you next week, everybody. And bye, Alex.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.